morning, church. Buenos dias. You guys are really impressing me with the Spanish that you are learning. Somebody was out there talking Spanish to me. Aleluya. Amen. Hosanna. So what do you learn all that Spanish? I'm Pastor Angel Garcia Martinez. Since it's name tag Sunday, just want you to know who I am. I'm No Wings, No Halo also. I'm your care, connection, and language pastor, and today I have the privilege to talk to you about Jesus, our righteousness. Now, today is Palm Sunday, right? Traditionally, it's usually a time when we remember that Jesus came to Jerusalem, and what we traditionally call Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The Son of God riding lowly on a donkey as the people cried out, say with me, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Now mean it, say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I wonder many times if some of the same people who are crying out, Hosanna, 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 were also crying later on, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Well, we also tend to forget that Jesus that day, when he came into Jerusalem, he cried for Jerusalem. He cried out, he cried tears of urgency for Israel, for Jerusalem, because they failed to recognize their time of visitation. But today, while we recognize the significance of Jesus' death, I'm going to endeavor to see the significance, and I want you to with me to look into the significance of his life and how it relates to our salvation and how his life allows us to stand before God, declaring us righteous before the Father, not with the human righteousness, but with Jesus' perfect, holy, beautiful righteousness. Today, I want us to see that Jesus is our righteousness. Can you say that with me? Jesus is our righteousness. Our text is Jeremiah 23:5. It's going to be on the screen. It says, the days are coming. This is the Lord's declaration. When I will rise up a righteous branch of David, he will reign wisely as king and administer justice and righteousness in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. This is what he will be named, Yahweh, Jehovah, if you have the King James capital letters, the Lord, our righteousness. Close your eyes and pray with me quickly. Father, we are grateful that we could celebrate Jesus. We're grateful that we could stand before you, not because of us, but because of him. We're grateful that we stand righteous before you, not because we're standing in our own righteousness, but we're standing in Jesus' righteousness that was imputed to us the day that we believe. With that said, Lord, we just ask you to speak to us, that we will listen and we will obey in Jesus' name. Jesus, our righteousness. You know, I've been reading the Bible, and I've noticed that there are other places in the Bible where Jesus is addressed, where Jesus is styled, or Jesus is singled out as something. And here in the Old Testament, we're told that this seed of David that comes from David, the root of David from Judah, is Yahweh, our righteousness. Later on when you read the scripture, you also see another phrase, very important phrase, Jesus is our Passover, which points to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And later on you read, Jesus is our rest, which means that we rest in Jesus. And I just want to tell my friends who are watching, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, if you're wondering why we worship on Sunday, why we don't keep the Sabbath, some of us do if you choose to, it's up to you, but we don't have to do it by law, by requirement, because Jesus is my rest. Jesus is my Sabbath. I have entered into that rest, and I no longer work. I just trusting for being my Sabbath, my Passover, and today we want to see the declaration of the Lord that Jesus is our righteousness. In our text, it says, Yahweh, it's a declaration from Yahweh, from Jehovah, from the Lord himself. And I want us to do three things with this text. I want us to do three things because we are imitators of God. And let me just put you at ease because I know that you might get nervous. I know you and you know me. To the degree that I extend the first part of this message is to the degree that I'm going to shorten the other part. So if you see me going on and on the first part, do not worry. Don't be anxious. Be peaceful. And I want us to do three things. Number one, I want us to declare this, number one, by affirmation. Number two, by proclamation. And lastly, by appreciation. It's pretty easy to remember. Affirmation, proclamation, and appreciation. But before we do that, I think it's necessary. I think it's important for us to understand why does God require perfect righteousness? Why does God has to be our righteousness? Why is it so important that we need to affirm it? Why is it so important that we need to proclaim it? Why is it so important that we need to appreciate it? Why can't it just be my righteousness? Well, I'm so glad you're asking all those questions. It is so important because it helps us understand better the saving work of Christ as it relates not only to his death, but to his life. And in order for us to do that, we have to go back, all the way back to the beginning. I know when I was going back, you thought I was a famous professional baseball player. And I was like Roberto Clemente getting the ball. We're going all the way back to the beginning. We're going all the way back to Genesis. Adam sinned. He did. That's where we're in trouble today, right? And in Adam, we all sinned. Adam was our representative. He represented all of us. And when he sinned, we sinned representatively in him. And what he did was imputed to us. And you say, Brother Angel, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be looking for Adam and Eve. I got some nice words. By the way, that's not going to happen in heaven. They're in heaven because of the same grace that you and I have been blessed with. And by the way, just be honest with me. How many of us know that if Adam and Eve did not mess up, one of us would have messed up? Adeline and Angel would have been the ones. You would have been the one. So don't be pointing the finger. Remember, when you point the finger this way, there are three fingers pointing at you, and one is pointing to heaven to remind you that God is watching you. And because of that, because they messed it up, and because of that, sin came into the world, and spiritual death came, separation from God, and physical death came to the whole entire world. By the fall, we inherited an infinite loss in the matter of righteousness. We lost our righteous nature and inherited sinful nature. And then we inherited another loss, a twofold loss of legal righteousness in the sight of God. See, Adam had committed sin, and so he transgressed the law. From that point on, he could no longer keep the perfect law because he had already messed up. Imagine this. I'm not a pizza maker. My wife did some tremendous Puerto Rican pizza yesterday. I told her, you should sell this. This is good. But I imagine that you're hungry. Anybody hungry? So maybe you don't want to hear this illustration. It might make you more hungry. And I got the dough, you know, and I like going fancy, throwing it up in the air. You've seen those people, how good they are, like, do two pieces of it. And like, and the more you're watching that and you smell the oven, the more hungry you get, right? And when you get ready to get the pizza, you looked at the hands of the pizza maker, and his hands are full of leprosy. Is no good. It doesn't matter how smelly good, how good it smells. It doesn't matter how good it looks. You would not eat it. I would not eat it. I guarantee you none of us would eat it, no matter how hungry we are, because it's been touched by leprosy. So all of our righteousness, no matter how good you look on Sunday, no matter how nice you can sing or preach or teach, it is like filthy rag before God because sin has stained it. Adam and Eve wrecked it when he came to righteousness standing before God. And because I like to keep it simple, let me put it this way. Adam and Eve really, really messed up. Let me break it down for you. You might have seen, this is not original with me. You might have seen this on a billboard. When I see stuff that grabs me, I grab it. So I hope and pray that this grabs you so you could grab it and take it and pass it forward. But I'm going to give you, in less than 30 seconds, the whole Bible. Nah. I know you, Brother Angel. You like to talk. No, it's possible. It's simplistic, and you have to add a lot of meat to the skeleton, but it gives you a basic thing. So here it is. All that I said, I'm going to say this way. God formed us. Sin deformed us. The Bible informs us, and Jesus transforms us. Amen? Now, I said that's simplistic. You got to put a lot of meat into it. So here, let's get right into our text. Our text, speaking of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the branch out of the root of Jesse, addresses him as the Lord. Addresses him, if you would, if you read that in the original language, it is the four consonant name of God, what we know as a tetragrammaton. It is Yahweh. It is Jehovah, the Lord, our righteousness. So the first thing we want to do is let us declare it by affirmation. Now, if you don't know what affirmation is, it's affirming something in the positive. It's stating that it is so. It is true. Today, we are affirming that Jesus is our righteousness. By the way, if you go to a Bible-believing church like Mayfair Bible Church, it should be a place where the Bible is affirmed. It should be a place where the Bible is preached. You're not interested in my opinion. My opinion and 75 cents will get you a cup of coffee with a senior discount at McDonald's. You're not interested in my views. I want to hear what God says. I want to hear what thus says the Lord. I want that to be affirmed. And today we are affirming together with God, just like God says, the declaration of Yahweh, that Jesus is our righteousness indeed. Here's another way of saying it. You better believe it. You better believe it. Or if you're like my little brother Orlando, who happens to be bigger than me, this is how he likes to say, you know it like a poet. Next time I want to see you, I say, I know Jesus is my righteousness, and you know it like a poet. Or if you want to be churchy because we're in church, this is how we say it in church. Amen, brother. Amen. Or you can say, that's right. It is so. Jesus is our righteousness. Notice that this declaration consists of only three words. Uno, dos, y tres. Can you say it with me? Now, those who take in Spanish as a second language, I want to hear the rest of it. All right, you guys graduated. You're good. Only three words, so let me just take it one word at a time, and I might reverse the order so that the interpreter could follow me. The first word is Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord. We affirm that this declaration from God unequivocally and indubitably says that Jesus Christ is Yahweh. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is God. See, you got to follow me now. Put on your spiritual seatbelt for just 1 second. See, Jesus wasn't just a good moral teacher. He's not just a good prophet or another king. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When God demonstrated his love in his highest dimension, he did not send an angel. Oh, he did not send an archangel. He did not send a cherubim. He did not send a seraphim. He sent his only begotten son. And he said, I love you this much and die for me on the cross. His only begotten Son, that in the words of Scripture, who being in the form of God, that means never ceasing to be God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and took the form of a servant. You know what that means? That he wasn't a servant before. Because if he had been a servant, he wouldn't have to take the form of a servant. But he says he took the form of a servant, and he humbled himself. In the words of Scripture, Philippians 2, 7, write that down. You can check it out later at home. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I'm glad it doesn't stop there, aren't you? Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those in earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. Affirm it with me. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. You see, I meet people all the time who get mad at Jesus. Well, who does Jesus think he is? How could he say that? How could he say he's the resurrection and the life? How could he say he's the only way to God? How could he say he's the life? How could he say, hey, who does he think he is? God? Yeah, he is. See, heaven and earth testify of his deity and divinity, for he is creator. He holds the universe, the Bible says, by his word. Who less than God can become the sinless, spotless Lamb of God to take upon himself your sins and mine and cast them all away? Who less than Yahweh himself could take our place to deliver us from the jaws of hell? Only Jesus. Jesus, our righteousness. We affirm today that Jesus is Yahweh in human form. Here's a big word. He is the Theanthropos, the God-man, not 50% human and 50% deity. No, fully God and fully human. Have you realized? I'm telling you, this is a good spot for me to stay for years and years. Right, Pastor Adam, we preach this. This is it. When I was in seminary, he said, if you run out of things to say, just keep bragging on Jesus. Man, I could do some bragging today. He is Lord. But have you thought about it that if Jesus were not God, he would have been a blasphemer? But he is God. He is the eternal Word of God who was with God in the beginning, with the Father and the Spirit, in eternal relationship with God. Before the beginning was, the Word already was in face-to-face relationship with the Father and the Spirit. And the Word was God and became flesh, made his tabernacle among us. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who he is. And I'm not ashamed to affirm it. I'm not ashamed to proclaim it. And I'm not ashamed to appreciate it. Let me tell you, that's who he is. That's what he does. Yeah, but I still don't like it. I mean, that sounds like, wow, how could a human being say that? Well, if he's God, he can say that. Because that's who he is. That's what he does. Let me show it to you. He said, follow me, that he was the bread of life. And then he went out and fed 5,000 men without counting women and children with bread from nowhere. He just proved it because that's who he is. And that's what he does. He said he was the light of men. And he went out there and healed people who were born blind so they could see the light. Let me ask you, have you seen the light? He is the light. Where's Phil Miranda? Jesus es mi luz. Say it. He's been walking around the hallway Tuesdays and Thursdays, and every time he sees me, he says, Jesus es mi luz. You know, that means Jesus is my light. Today is a good day for all of us to say, Jesus is my light. Affirm it with me. Jesus is my light. So he said he was the bread of life, multiplied bread several times. It wasn't just once. He opened the eyes of the blind, even the ones who were born blind. He did it several times. This is who he is. This is what he does. He said he was alive and went and brought back Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. You know what that means? Decay had already taken place. In the words of the King James Bible, he stinketh already. That's what he says. He brought him back. Just to let you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. Jesus is Yahweh. The essence of God's declaration lies in this little tiny word, our righteousness. I love that. Jesus is mine. I am his. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. But before I tell you about our and how it connects with our redemption, our salvation, our justification, our righteousness that have been given to us in Christ, in the Beloved, let me tell you that Jesus himself was personified righteousness. He kept the law perfectly. In fact, one day he said, "Who of you accuses me of sin?" No one dare. If I said that, there'll be hundreds of hands here. And if you said that, there'll be hundreds of hands here going up. But he says, "Who of you?" And then when John the Baptist, which means a baptizer, saw him, and notice how he combines his death and his life, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He's the Lamb takes the sin away, and God is pleased because he perfectly lived a righteous life so that then he could give us the righteousness that we need. It is this title of our Lord and our Savior that the doctrine that we know as imputed righteousness, imputed justification, is unfolded right before us. I'm going to quote an old-timer. A good preacher friend of mine, he was born in the 1800s, just in case you want to know. His name is Spurgeon. When he said, "We believe in Christ by faith, we receive our justification. As the merit of his blood takes away our sin, so the merit of his obedience is imputed to our righteousness. We are considered as soon as we believe as though the works of Christ are our works. God looks upon us as though through that perfect obedience of which I have just spoken," that he was quoting, "that had been performed in ourselves. God considered us in Christ, and he looks upon us, and when he looks at you through Christ, you look good. We look good. We look righteous." And that is the declaration of the Lord. He lived a perfect life for a purpose. And we have just as much reason to be grateful for his life as we are for his death. A lot of times we miss that, especially during this time of the year. We only talk about, yeah, rightly so. I'm not saying it's not right. We only talk about his suffering. We talk about the Via Dolorosa. We talk about the crown. We talk about the nails. We talk about the cross and the scourging. Rightly so. I'm not here to diminish that. I cry when I watch it. So do you, I think. But I'm here to tell you, we cannot diminish the fact that our Lord lived a perfect, righteous, holy life so that when he died and you believe, his righteousness was also given to you. That is why in Jeremiah 33:16, the same verse that we just read is changed, but a little bit. The declaration of God says, "This is the name wherewith she shall be called, Yahweh, our righteousness." Wait a minute. Wasn't God to be called Yahweh, our righteousness? Yes. But we and the people of God who believe in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now we'll call his righteousness, because when Jesus died, he not only saved you by his death, but by his perfect life gave you right standing before God so that you can know that you stand before God, not because of you, but because of him. Let me jump a little bit here. You see, the doctrine of justification, follow me, this is good stuff. Not because I'm saying it, but because the Bible teaches us. The doctrine of justification is not just if I had never sinned. It is that, but it's much better than that. The doctrine of justification is also just if I had kept the whole law perfectly. So when you stand before God, you're standing justified. You had never sinned, but you're also standing because of Jesus. Just as if you had kept the law of God perfectly, because you stand in the Beloved, not in your righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. Personal note here. I was saved on a Sunday, November 7th, 1982. The only reason I remember that's because that was the weekend when we came from Puerto Rico. They dragged us from paradise to New England. Oh! I cannot understand my parents. Are you local? What is going on here? From 70 degrees in November to freezing weather in New England. But God had a great purpose. And that Sunday, Orlando and I, you remember, heard a preacher named Moses. That was his name, I kid you not. You think I'm a, imagine having a preacher named Moses. The next pastor, his name was Israel. I kid you not. And that night, Orlando's right here. He could testify and affirm this with me. We heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when the invitation was offered, I don't know who told me to raise my hand, but when I looked, my hand was already raised. And when I looked, my brother's hand was raised, and we were both crying. I'm not saying you need to raise your hand. I'm not saying you need to cry. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I didn't know what the word justification meant. I didn't know how to pronounce righteousness. In fact, I didn't know any English. All I knew is that I need Jesus. I need him as my Savior. And I understood he loved me. And even, you might be here today and say, Lord, you say, Pastor Angel, I do not understand all those big words. I don't understand the word justification. I don't understand the word imputation. I don't understand the word righteousness. We have equip courses, by the way. And they're free. And if you don't like it, you get your money back. That's how it works. So come on in. I didn't know them, but once I committed to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I committed that I wanted to know as much as I could possibly know about Jesus that I can. And I've been doing that for over 40-something years, baby. And the more I learn about him, the more I realize, oh, he is so awesome. He is so great. I want to bow before him and proclaim him as Jesus, my righteousness. Second, we're not only going to proclaim it, we're not only going to declare it by affirmation, but we're going to do it by proclamation. Follow me here, because we told you, you go to a church, hopefully you go to a Bible church, and thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I know you have many choices. Thank you to those. Help me thank those who are watching online. Thank you. I know you could have chosen to listen to David Jeremiah, not me. You could repent from that and watch him later, But I'm grateful. Are you not grateful, Pastor Adam, Pastor C? We're grateful that you watch us and you take the time and you listen. And my grandchildren said, Mamo, I want to hear you preach. So I send them the YouTube and they could watch me later too. I'm telling you, it's amazing what God is doing in our midst. Can I tell you something? All right. Jeremy, my Sunday school class more than doubled today. Be honest with you, I thought I wasn't going to be able to preach because we were having so much fun. I mean, people were participating. I'm just loving this. And I said, boy, I won't be able to preach if I just talk for an hour and talking. I got to come back up here and preach for 40 minutes. I won't be able to do it, but by the grace of God, I'm here. And let me tell you, it doubled. But if all of you, you're listening to me in Spanish right now, if all of you come to the Equip course, it will double again. So that's a challenge. We're going to be 40 before you know it. You're going to have to give us a bigger classroom. God is at work in our midst. Why is that? Not because of me, not because of Pastor Adam, Pastor Steve, not because of the elders. It's because we affirm the truth of Scripture, and we proclaim the truth of God. And we are not only going to affirm it, we're going to proclaim it. Let me tell you, for the last 2,000 years, I like this phrase here, the unstoppable church of Jesus Christ has been proclaiming the truth of Jesus. The last 2,000 years, the unstoppable church of Christ have been speaking forth the great and marvelous truth of justification by faith and our imputed righteousness because of Jesus. Not only has the church been preaching it, that's what speak forth means. And in the New Testament, it's the gift of prophets to speak forth, not necessarily to speak before it happens, but to speak forth, not to foretell, but to actually forth tell. Let me just throw that in as free. But the church has been preaching it, proclaiming it by preaching it from the pulpit, but we have been proclaiming it. You have been proclaiming it. We did it today by singing it too. We proclaim it when somebody gets baptized. They're proclaiming to you guys, I met Jesus. He saved me, and this is my public declaration, my public proclamation that he's my Lord. I believed in him as my Savior. That's what they do. And when we sing like we were singing today, I said, man, that was just great because it goes perfectly with the message. We're singing what the church has been preaching for the last 2,000 years. Here is an oldie that you might know. How old is it? Well, you want a lot of details. Good thing I do my research. This one comes from 1834, but even though you're not that old, You probably know it. Here it is. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and? Than Jesus' blood and? You see it right there. His death, his blood, and his life combined. Think about it. When Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer, I know everybody knows Matthew 6, but you know John 17, that is his prayer. John 6 is our prayer. He said, when you pray this way. In John 17, he said, Father, I have completed the work that you have given me to do. I said, time out. How could he say that? He's not at the cross yet. He completed the perfect obedience, and he's beginning to complete the work of atonement from that point on, so that when he was on the cross, he said, tetelestai, it is finished, it is done, it is complete. Now we could stand before God. My hope is built on nothing else, nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I know some of you said, Pastor, when you go back beyond 1900, you lose me. For your sake, let me give you a modern one, okay? Here's one that's not so old. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said, you see the affirmation? Let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ, say it with me, alone. We need to preach it. We need to sing it. We need to live it. We need to tell the world Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And last, not only are we going to affirm it, we're going to proclaim it, we're going to appreciate it. I hope you do. Hope that what we're doing here today is not going through the motions. In Puerto Rico, they say this, haciendo el aguaje. I know that's hard to translate, but you know what I'm saying. You're not just pretending, I'm going to go to church. I didn't want to get up, so I got up slowly. Oh, I got to go to Sunday school, equip, whatever. I'm not going to do it. Oh, I got, and you do it. And then I got to hear that crazy Puerto Rican pastor preach again. No, that's not how we do it. We do it with joy. We do it with appreciation. We do it because in Christ alone, my source of strength, my hope, my joy, my faith is in him. And I appreciate him because he loved me when I was lost, when I was blind, when I didn't even know where I was going. He left the 99 and went and picked me up and put me on his shoulder and brought me back to the fold. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to proclaim it. And I'm going to appreciate it. Let me give you some scripture. I kind of wrote it on my own. So I go from Spanish to English. It comes out a little different Puerto Rican version here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, having been declared righteous, not only do we have peace with God, we're grateful, full of thanksgiving and appreciation with God. And he couldn't reconcile those with God who were not righteous, so he had to make us perfectly righteous. I'm here to tell you something, and this is not here, so I'm sorry. You forgive me later. She's my wife, so. Please don't stop cooking for me. I need it. When I get in trouble, I don't get breakfast. She always does. She forgives me before we go to sleep. Because the Bible said, don't let your wrath go down. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So you forgive me here. But let me tell you, and this is free. It wasn't even here. And let me see. Okay, I'll do it fast. In the book of Revelation, I know some of you are learning Revelation. You're going to Bible study fellowship, right, some of you? I know because you're always asking me, and I love it that you ask me, and we get into it, and we get more. The righteousness of the saint, or I should say, right, the righteousness of the saint are described as a robe. And this robe is bright and beautifully and without spot and blemish. You know why? It's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's because that righteousness, that holiness, even when the angels and the seraphims and all creation says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy three times, thrice. You know what? They have to look at the righteousness of God and say, whoa, look at that robe. That is holy, holy, holy. And we get to wear those robes because of Jesus, because he made us righteous before the Father. By adoption, we are the children of God, the family of God. He gave us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. And he could have not adopted us into his family unless he made us righteous. I'm going to skip some things. We are grateful that necessity of perfect obedience was met by Yahweh himself. The lawgiver kept the law perfectly so that he can, when you believe, not only forgive your sins and give your forgiveness of sin, but also give you perfect, holy, righteous standing before him because he kept the law. And when you understand that Yahweh himself is our righteousness, thanksgiving cries out from your heart in the words of Paul, all the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. Not only did Jesus die for my forgiveness, he lived for me to be my righteousness. Follow me now. His death washed away their sins, our sins. His life covered them from head to foot. His death was a sacrifice to God. His life was the gift to man by which man satisfies the demands of the law. I'm almost done. We can express our gratitude that we have been delivered from the penalty of sin, that we have been delivered from the power of sin. And even though not yet, but it will be soon, we will be delivered from the presence of sin. We could be grateful because when we struggle with our flesh, the all Adam nature. Come on, you got one, I got one. You know what I'm talking about. When we struggle for the good that I want to do, I do not do. And that which I do not want to do, that is what I end up doing, what I despise doing. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me to captivity to the law, a sin which is in my members that makes me say, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad Paul asked. I'm going to tell you right now. You ready? You ready? I'm going to affirm. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to be grateful. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one. He is my righteousness. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up right now. Did you know that what took me 35 minutes to say, it took Paul... I don't know, I didn't do the timer. Somebody was making fun of me last time because when I said that it would take 30 seconds to tell the gospel, they timed me. That's not right. Repent. So I'm not going to tell you. But it took Paul, I'm going to say less than 2 minutes to say what took me 35 minutes. Check it out. Write it down so you can go home and get into it. Romans 8:2. For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness and sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. The law couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. But God, being holy, perfect, sent his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh so that righteousness could be given to us. Write this down. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, the sin offering for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Mayfair Bible Church, please stand. If you've never proclaimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, today is a good day to do so. Today you can say, I need Jesus, like I did in November 7, 1982. I remember the hour, it was almost 9 o'clock because that preacher could preach long. You can say right now, Jesus, I need you to be not only the Lamb of God, but my righteousness. I need you, Jesus, save me. Give me spiritual sight. Be my bread of life, eternal life. Be my resurrection. be my eternal life. Save me. If you come to him and ask him, I'm telling you, he will. Because that's who he is. That's what he does. He is the Savior, the Lamb of God in whom God is well pleased. So I tell you, Mayfair Bible Church, and those who are watching all over the world online, let all creation worship him. Let the angels worship him. Let the seraphim worship him. Let the cherubim, the archangels, prostrate fall and bow before him. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, that's right, indeed, indubitably, amen. You know it like a poet. Say it, say it. He is our righteousness. Let the whole creation say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Give him glory in God's house this morning.